Yeah, thank you to the choir and to those on our instruments for leading us in our worship. As I said, my name's Jordan. I'm working with the Belfast City Mission. Married with a one-year-old in the house. And having a one-year-old, and I'm sure those of you that maybe have children will know, I get plenty of advice on parenthood and on fatherhood, things to do and not to do. Even in his first year, there's a thing or two that maybe I've learned along the way. Someone said that having a toddler is like having a blender without a top on it, and that's particularly true. And after the birth, our daughter's called Willow, and after Willow was born, I got a pat on the shoulder and said, "Don't worry, the first 40 years are the worst." So that was a lovely bit of encouragement. Just one or two things that I've learned myself is that loud noises will not wake a baby, and bright lights will not wake a baby, but whenever you sit down to your dinner, for some reason that wakes up a baby. And if I'm wearing a particularly nice outfit, or my wife is, or Will was wearing one herself, it's not going to stay clean for very long. One of the perks of having a baby is that you can talk to yourself in supermarkets, and you can talk to yourself out loud, and nobody thinks that you're a mental case. But above all, a wee baby's laugh covers a multitude of sins. A couple of little bits of advice and information that I've been given. You know, you can listen to it or not, take it or leave it, whatever the case may be. Of course, the Bible's different, isn't it? The Bible's different. All Scripture is God-breathed, it says. And we can't just take it or leave it. We have to take it and listen to it and apply it and do what it says. The Bible that we hold on our laps or in our hands isn't some out-of-date historical textbook. Rather, it's bang up to date, and it gives us answers to some of life's most important and pertinent questions. One of which is, which we want to focus on just for the time that remains, how can we be secure? How can we be secure in this world that's so unsafe? How can we be secure in this world that's so unsafe? You only need to look at the news and the Brexit is still fresh in everyone's minds and arguments, and that's brought a whole lot of political and financial and in so many other ways, instability. And even, it's sad to say, at this time of year in this country that we live in, over the next fortnight, there's a lot of unsureness, if that's even a word, as to what's going to happen. Are people going to behave themselves? Is there going to be kicking off? Is there going to be this, that, or the other? So much insecurity. But how can we be secure? The psalmist that we read there in Psalm 46 tells us in his own experience that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. And it's there that we can find genuine security and true and real and lasting peace. I just want to consider three things that this psalm reminds us of this morning. The first one's this: our security is found not in the world, but in God. Our security is not found in the world, it's found in God. And we're to look to God, we're to look to God, the Creator, and we're not to look around at the creation. We're to love the giver of gifts and not be captivated and caught up with the gifts themselves. This world's ever-changing. And this world, in fact, it has little to offer us in the way of security. The psalm here, 46, the psalmist says, the earth can be removed, the mountains can be carried into the midst of the sea. The waters can roar and be troubled, and even the mountains which can be carried into the midst of the sea. They, what we see as unmovable mountains, sort of a byword for stability, they can shake. But we are asked to take our eyes off of the mountains, off of the seas, off of the waters. Turn to God. For He alone's our refuge, our strength, our help. He and only He is our hope. Everything, and indeed everyone else, will eventually at some point let us down or disappoint us in some way. And we only do have one true source of security, and that's God Himself. He's our refuge and our strength, even when what seems to be permanent and everlasting crumbles and is demolished. When the world crashes in around us, God is still there, still protecting us. When it says refuge, it literally means to flee, to run to a shelter, to a place of safety and security. That idea that God wants us to run to Him for protection. He's our refuge and He's our strength, meaning we can rely on His might when we ourselves feel helpless, when we ourselves feel weak. We can trust and we can turn to Him. As I mentioned, if you want to get angry or you want to lose all hope for everything in this world, watch the news. I'm not a particularly big fan of the news, but if you watch it, you see economies collapsing, you see giant retail chains folding, you see wars and you see famines breaking out, you see natural disasters raging and surging through the earth, and they just snuff wildlife out like sucking water through a straw. You see celebrities and famous faces, particularly 2016, I might add, it seems to have been particularly harsh on celebrities, but the likes of Muhammad Ali, the greatest showman extraordinaire, the most charismatic sports person probably in modern history. These celebrities, seemingly immortal, and yet we see them growing old and getting sick and they die and they're ushered out into eternity. God's the only place that we can find security. He's an ever-present or a very present help in trouble. It means He's proved Himself to be such a help. And those of you who are Christians here this morning, who have been Christians for 5, 10, 20, 50 years or more, can surely say that yourself. He's proved Himself to be a help in the past. And because He's proved Himself to be a help, we can trust Him in the present. We can trust Him for the future. He's proved Himself over and over. Our world's so much more advanced these days in terms of technology and education, and science has moved on a thousandfold. But it's no safer today than it was a generation or two ago, or even hundreds of years ago. You could say maybe that we feel more threatened today than those days when people lived without iPads or without cars, or they lived in wooden huts. I'll tell you a true story that I read online. In the 80s, a couple retired from work and they were looking to they were alarmed by the threat of war, and they wanted to flee themselves to the safest place on earth. They wanted to retire in safety. So they studied maps upon maps, and they looked for the safest place on earth. They looked for the place where war was least likely to break out, the ultimate haven of peace and security. And eventually they found the place, they found the one, this little island. And they went, and they sent their pastor a Christmas card the following Christmas from their new home just in the Falkland Islands. History tells us, we know ourselves, that so-called paradise and haven was soon turned into a war zone itself. Anything can happen at any second. As I say, we see on the news, people go out in Orlando and they head for a night out, and 49 of them are slain. There's no security. We don't know what's going to happen from moment to moment, from minute to minute. Unless we place ourselves in the hand of the one who holds eternity, the one who's in control of all things, the sovereign God. We need to turn to God this morning, more so in these days than ever. Only when we seek God can we find rest for our soul. Like the psalmist when he says in verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." Another psalm, Psalm 20, says this: some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And when we are secure in God, we won't need the security of other things. We believe that God is in control. God is sovereign. God is seated firmly on his throne. And that's why we can say with the psalmist that God is our refuge and our strength. Though we won't fear, though the earth be removed. Second point is this, just quickly. Our security is found not in our circumstances or our situations, but in our faith. In our faith. The psalmist was able to feel this security and this inner peace and joy, not because he was in the midst of a huge city with fortified walls and strong gates, not because he was in the presence of experienced warriors that possessed powerful ammunition, but because God is with him. Because God's with him. Verse 5, God is in the midst, therefore she shall not be moved. She shall not fall. Verse 7 and verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. And the psalmist's faith is in the presence of God. That's where he has his hope. That's where he has his security. We don't pray ourselves, I'm sure, to have an easy life. We don't pray that God will maybe make us rich or God will just, you know, give us that easy street. God does bless us materially and can bless us materially with riches and all sorts. But just as if you have children or grandchildren and you give them gifts and you want them to enjoy them, God wants us to enjoy his gifts, but he doesn't want us to find our hope in them. He doesn't want them to be our all and end all. He doesn't want us to depend on things or stuff. He wants us to depend on him. He doesn't want us to trust wholly in the stuff and the things that we have, but he wants us to put our trust in him. And instead of praying for an easy life, we pray for a strong faith, a secure faith in the midst of an ever-changing world, that we'll continue to trust that God's with us. And his presence is our peace. His presence is our joy. And no matter what happens, that our faith would be unshakable. That's my prayer. That's my prayer for me. Jesus said, of course, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." And you can see those who live in the lap of luxury, those who have the best of things, those who have money coming out their ears, as it were, but their lives are consumed by guilt and worry and fear and uncertainty. And on the flip side, it's great to see so many young people associated with First the Huckle going on mission trips and outreaches. A couple of years back, sort of this day, 2 years ago, we were on our way to Burkina Faso, West Africa. And there are people who live in very dangerous and difficult places, the likes of Burkina Faso, like North Korea or Syria or Nigeria. And they have the greatest sense of security, because they've placed their faith and their hope and their trust in the living God. And they are looking to him for everything, literally because they have to. We can read about Job. Job was robbed of everything, but his trust was placed in God. He was shaken, of course, but he didn't fall. Psalm 125 tells us that those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. And when we talk about security, I say security is not an easy life. Security is not the absence of trouble, but it's the courage that we have in the midst of it. And for the Christian, for those of us who are God's children, who are cleansed by the soul-cleansing blood, that comes from a faith in God. And it's this faith that gives the psalmist the courage to say that despite what's happening in my life, despite any of my circumstances, despite of everything that's happening, though mountains are crumbling around me, we will not fear. We will not fear. And we can have that same courage today Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you'll have trouble. He says, but take heart, take courage. I have overcome the world. And that's why we have courage, not because we're strong, but because we have a God who's strong. He's powerful. He's sovereign. He's in complete control. He rules over all. And we're secure in an unsafe world because the one who loves us and cares for us is with us. And the last one's this. Our security isn't in the here and now. It isn't in simply today, but it's in eternity. This world, for the Christian, isn't our home. If we were to look only at the present circumstances, what's happening in the world around us, we would be shaken, of course. We would be troubled and discouraged. But if we're grounded in eternity, if our life has that eternal element to it, then we stand firm. And as Christians, our life does have that eternal dimension. And as a Christian, we have our security in the fact that nothing that comes at us, nothing that happens here, can damage, can change, can modify the thing that matters most to us, our relationship with God. No one can take it away. No matter what happens, Paul says, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. And we can understand to a certain extent that things like the shootings in America, at the July 7th attacks in London, like things like 9/11, and going even further back and further back, tragedies like schoolgirls getting kidnapped in Nigeria or planes getting hijacked, they're not the will of God. God doesn't plan them, but God will use these things for his eternal purposes and for his glory. Our confidence and our security doesn't go up and down like the stock market. Our security doesn't fluctuate whether or not there's good news on the BBC tonight or not. The Lord says in the psalm, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. And we understand and we can see, and it's obvious, there's evil in the world. But ultimately, good triumphs over evil. There are lies and deceit in the world, but ultimately, truth will be victorious over the lie. There is hatred in the hearts of men and women in the world, but ultimately, love will win out over hate. God wins. God wins in the end. There are no guarantees in this world for any of us. Christians aren't immune from the harms of this world, but we are loved. We're loved by a Father who watches over us. We're his children. That's our security. Say, I work with the Belfast City Mission. One of our missionaries loves Jim Reeves. Maybe you do too. I had never heard of him until this boy was talking to me. He loves Jesus and he loves his wife and children, but he loves Chelsea as well. So would you pray for him? But he loves Jim Reeves as well. One of his songs says this. He let me listen to it in the car. He says, this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. And for the Christian, that's true. We're secure in this unsafe world because our security is in eternity. This world is not our home. Our security isn't in the here and now. We have a God who's good, and we can turn to him, and we must turn to him. He's with us. No matter where our journey takes us, he walks with us. He has our hand, and he walks beside us. There's no better news. There's no greater security than that. The Lord's a refuge, says, for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble in Psalm 9. I ask you this morning, it would be remiss of me as a Christian and as a missionary to not present both sides of the argument. Where's your security this morning? Where's your security? Is it in your possessions? Is it in your family salvation? My dad is a Christian. My mom's a Christian. Is it in your good works? I'm not that bad of a spot. I do some nice things and I give to here and there. And I'm kind and courteous. Is it from something that happened in your childhood where you maybe christened or baptized or whatever? I hope that you have come to a knowledge of God as your refuge, as your strength, as your Savior and as your keeper and sustainer. If not, won't you come? Would you be still this morning and know that he is God? Would you come? Would you know him personally as forgiver of sins and giver of new life? Come to him this morning if you haven't done so in repentance of sin. Receive that forgiveness that he offers, that you would know him as this world's only true and lasting security. If you come to him, as I say, he sustains, he keeps. And with this story, I'll just conclude. It's about a new convert who's particularly distressed. He says, no matter how much I try and pray, no matter how hard I try, I just can't seem to be faithful to God. I think I'm losing my salvation. And he says to this older Christian, and the older Christian comes back to him, he says, look at my dog. He's got his wee dog sitting there, a wee Labrador or whatever. Look at my dog. He's house trained. He's obedient. Anytime I call him, he comes, you know. And then out in the kitchen, he had a baby son, little toddler. He says, look at my son. Makes a total mess. Dinner time's like chaos every single night. Just throws his dinner absolutely everywhere. He's a total mess. He says, do you know who's going to inherit everything that I have? It's not my dog. My son is my heir. And he says, you're Jesus Christ's heir because it's for you that he died. And we're Christ's heirs if we're Christians this evening. We're not through our perfection, but by means of his grace. We're going to just conclude our service this morning as we sing together before the throne of God above. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea.